Hanukkah is a Yom Tov, which is a Yom Tov of Torah Shebaal Peh. How so? We are taught that the Gemara tells us that Esther is Sof Kol HaNisim. And yet the Gemara asks the question, what about Hanukkah? Hanukkah came hundreds of years after the story of Esther and Purim. And the Gemara answers that Esther was the last nes which was Nitan Li Kosev, as opposed to Hanukkah, which is Lo Nitan Li Kosev. It's a holiday of Torah Shebaal Peh, which has no Zecher in the Torah Shebichsav whatsoever. As the Mepharshim point out, even in the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is the original Mishnayos, we don't find it. It's one of those very unusual holidays. And it's not surprising, therefore, that we look to Hanukkah as a Chag of Torah Shebaal Peh in a broader sense, that the Ner Mitzvah, the Torah Or of Hanukkah, represents Torah Shebaal Peh. And the Tziv points out in Chumash that the Oren represents the Torah Shebichsav, and the menorah represents the Torah Shebaal Peh, the two Kedem and the Mishkan, which are connected to Torah. But the Oren, which has the Luchos in it, that's Torah Shebichsav, and the menorah, which is it represents the Pilpula Shel Torah, the Chochmas of Torah. So the Tziv explained that when the Gedolim and the Amor Tanoim would have a great shout, say, oh, Kafta Raferach, which is those are the various furnishings, if you will, or the designs, decorations on the menorah. So the Yom Tov of Torah Shebaal Peh. So what better way is it to celebrate the waning hours of Chanukah of Tovshin Samach Tes than to discuss a little bit some of the important Yisodos in Ner Chanukah. This is not to discuss the protim of exactly how many candles you light, and that's a 1 to 8, it's already with day 8, people have done it already, but some of the fundamentals. I'd like to discuss with you a little bit something which has become somewhat charged in today's world, like many things, but we has to have a rigorous halachic analysis, and then perhaps we can talk about it in a broader sense. The Gemara tells the Masech for Shabbos of Chav Gimel Amin Aleph, Noshim Chayovos B'ner Chanukah She'afein Hoyu Ba'oso Hanes. That sounds pretty good. It's a famous Gemara. Everybody knows about the Gemara. And the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is that the obligation of women is identical to that of men. That's the Pasha Pshat, right? The same as Afein Hoyu Ba'oso Hanes. We think that's the Pasha Pshat. And the other two places where the same phrase is found. Anybody know where else this phrase is found? Afein Hoyu Ba'oso Hanes. Where else is it found? Purim. Where else? Not Halal Pesach, but rather what? Habakkosis. So it's found in three places in Shas. It's this figure of speech. Afein Hoyu Ba'oso Hanes. And at first glance, it means that women and men are identical with respect to these three mitzvahs of Megillah, of Ner Chanukah, and Habakkosis. Remarkably, the Mishnah Berurah, right there on the spot, in Siman Tov Resh Ayin Hei, Sifkot Tes, quotes as Tshuvas Ola Shmuel, who says as follows. Nowadays, everybody lights for himself. What is that? It's called Mahadrin. Nonetheless, a woman need not light. Why? Because she considers, quote, tfelos la'anoshim. And if she wants the light, she may make a bracha. Why? Just like every other mitzvah say, shezman grom. This is it. I know you're not going to believe it. It's there. Look it up. Tov Resh Ayin Hei, Sif Katan Tes. This Mishnah Berurah is a pele otzum v'nora ad ma'od. What are you talking about? Mrs. Hastasia's man grum. That's it's a machlokes. Any sfarim in the room? Anyone from Edota Mizrach here? There you go. So it's in your house. Women don't make a bracha, not on shofar, not on sukkah, not on lulav, none of these things. Now out to it. Maran says no way. What about Ner Chanukah? According to this Mishnah Berurah, she shouldn't make a woman who lights candles shouldn't make a bracha because it's a Mrs. Hastasia's man grum. And all the Ashkenazim do, sfarim don't. And besides, what are you talking about, Zman Grama? The Gemara says explicitly that women are chayav because Afein Hoyu Ba'oso Hanes. It's an exception to the rule of Zman Grama. We just don't know what in the world the Mishnah Berurah is talking about. Don't understand it. I think the answer is that whenever the Gemara has this figure of speech of Afein Hoyu Ba'oso Hanes, it doesn't mean that the woman is chayav the same as the man is chayav. To the contrary, woman is only chayiv in what I will hereby term the presume nisa aspect of the mitzvah. All three of these mitzvahs have two aspects, the core mitzvah and the presume nisa aspect of the mitzvah. And afin haibo sonesh just means the women are chayav in the presume nisa aspect of the mitzvah. Some of you may be familiar, since I guess by now that Hanukkah is over in a few hours, what's the next holiday on the horizon? Purim. Purim's the next one. When it comes to Purim, as a matter of fact, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, there's one opinion, it's quoted in Tosfos in the Rosh, in the beginning of Masechta Megillah, that a woman is not able to read the Megillah for a man. Why not? She's also chayiv in Kriyas HaMegillah. So the Vahag is quoted as saying, a woman is chayiv in Shmia, and a man is chayiv in Kriya. Since her obligation is a lower level, she cannot read the Megillah for a man. What does it mean, Shmia in Kriya? So we're not holding my Purim now, but to make a long story short, what I think it means is that based upon an Achuvas Avnei Nezer, Avnei Nezer says that the idea of Shomea Ka'one is not compatible with Pirsume Nisa. Because Pirsume Nisa means it has to be famous and public and obvious to everybody. That's the very essence of Pirsume Nisa. If you walk into Shul on Purim and you walk out and ask 20 people, did you fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah? And they'll say yes. How? What do you mean how? I heard about Kari. That's how. Which is, of course, for Lamed in this room knows that's incorrect. You have to say Shomea Ka'one. I read the Megillah. You know, I was listening in the back. I read the Megillah because Shomea is Ka'one. But that's not obvious. Most people don't even realize that. So therefore, the idea that a person is considered reading the Megillah is not famous, it's not public, only the Talmid HaChacham know it. Therefore, the obligation for the woman, which is the presumenisa obligation, is a chiyuv of what we call shmiya. The man's obligation is what we call kriya. Hence, the woman cannot read for the man. She's only chayav in the presumenisa aspect, and the man is chayav in the core mitzvah aspect. That's what we explained. So too, with respect to Arba Kosos, some of you, after the program comes to Pesach, already, start thinking about it. So, on Pesach, you're probably familiar with the Brisker Rav's famous piece. It's printed in the Kiddush Gemara and Riz HaLevi. But the Gemara tells us that there are two aspects to Arba Kosos. One is the, we'll call it the core mitzvah, of what's called Seder Bracha Ala Kos. That means you have Kiddush Ala Kos, and some of the other things Ala Kos, Havdol Ala Kos. You have Arba Kosos, Ala Kos, Arba Kosos, Ala Kos, right? You have to say Kiddush, Hallel, Kiddush, Sipisis Mitzrayim, benching and Hallel, Alakos. But there's another dimension called the Pesume Nisa aspect. What's that called? Rambam calls it Derecheres. Cheres is Pesume Nisa, to show that we are free. That means, just drink down the wine. If you guzzle down four cups in the tar at a row, according to the Rambam, Yedei Cheres Yotza, Yedei Arbakosis Layotza. What does Cheres mean? Pesume Nisa. So here too, the suggestion is made that women are only chayiv in the Pesume Nisa aspect and not in the core mitzvah. On what basis do I say that? There are some mafreshim who suggest that a woman is exempt from the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, Pesach Mat. She's exempt. Zman Gerama. So the Achronim ask, how can she be exempt? But she's chayiv in Abakosis. So the answer they give is, yes, she's chayiv in Abakosis in the Pesume Nisa aspect, which has nothing to do with the Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. You can guzzle down four cups. It can also be Yotze. But to make a long story short, there are two aspects to these mitzvahs of Pesume Nisa. One is the core mitzvah, women are exempt, and the second is the Pesume Nisa aspect, which women are obligated. So we gave examples with respect to both Purim and Pesach. Purim, we said, the Pesume aspect is Shmiya as opposed to Kriya, so she can't read the Megillah for a man. And Pesach and Arba Kosos, the Pesume Nisa aspect is the drinking, as opposed to linking the coast together with the various amiras, Kiddush, Sipritius Mitzrayim, benching and Allah. Women are only chayim in the drinking aspect, in the Pesume Nisa aspect. How does this all translate when it comes to Chanukah? Also two dinim. This is a brisk kashir. Two dinim, everything has two dinim. But what are the two dinim? Who wants to guess? What's the second din of Chanukah? Over and above the mitzvah of Hadlak, the mitzvah of Hadlak, Chanukah, that's what we know, that's what the mitzvah is. What else is there besides? So what, if it's the minister, right. So my Rebbe, the Rebbe used to say, How do you know if somebody's a pesuma nisa mitzvah? You make a bracha shasa nisim, right? Shasa nisim you say by the Megillah, you say it by Chanukah, and as he always used to point out, you in effect say it with Arba Kosos also, because it says in the Yotzeh, the Shabbos HaGadol, it's printed in every Siddur, it says, Rishon Mevorech Alayayim, Ve'eno Omer Neis Adayim, Shetzorach La'omer alako, ala agada, v'ro l'koflo ayin. Pretty sure that's by heart. It's been a while since we said it. But that's what it says. That is the bracha of Goal Yisrael, right, at the very end of the Haggadah, that is the shasanism of Arba Kosos. And if not for that, you'd make it at the beginning, as you would say it on the other two mitzvahs. So, is this his word? Is the shasanism? Not surprising. Not what my Rebbe said, it has antecedents with his antecedents, so with his ancestors, it's possible. But I heard it from the Rav. The idea is that this bracha indicates some kind of a presuma nisa aspect. So now I gave you a hint. So what, therefore, would you say is a presuma nisa aspect of Ner Chanukah? I gave you a hint. You have to do something. Presuma nisa, you have to hear the Megillah. What's the equivalent of hearing the Megillah? Very good. Seeing the Neris. What was the hint? Haroes haner. What bracha does he make? Just a row. He doesn't do anything. Just see. What does he break? Shasa nisa. There it is. And it fits in the same lumdus as the Abnei-Nezer's lumdus. Abnei-Nezer said, you cannot say that the presuma nisa aspect is kriyas of Megillah. Because the average person, not Shatam Chacham, will not realize that the typical individual in shul is in effect reading the Megillah through Shemei Kohen. He doesn't know about Shemei Kohen. He only knows that he is hearing the Megillah. So the hearing is the Dalai Lama first and is Pesum and Issa. Same thing is true. Mitzvah Chanukah and Ner Ishu Beisa. One candle per household. So the other people in the house, what are they doing? They're not doing anything. So Lamda knows. It's okay. The whole house is enough to have one bracha. But the typical person, he sees the neiros. His father comes and makes the bracha, and makes lights of candle, everybody's gathered around, they'll see it. So the Dalai Lama first from Shabbat is not the lighting of the candles, which counts for everybody through a lumdus of neiros shabeso, but rather the seeing, riyas haneiros. That's famous. That everyone can see what's going on. It's a perfect parallel for shmiyas haMegillah, riyas haneiros. That is the obligation of presume nisa. That being the case, what comes out, if we're correct, just as a woman is only chayiv in shmiya and not in kriya, so she's only chayiv in riya, not in adlaka. Isn't that interesting? That's what should emerge. Only one major problem. Rabosa, someone raise their hand. There's a major problem over here with this analysis, but a big time problem, yes. What? Right? Because the Gemara says that a woman is involved in the Ner Chanukah. The Lashon of the Gemara, verbatim, is Nashim Chayavas B'Ner Chanukah. That wouldn't bother me so much. Nashim Chayavas can be Chayav and Riyas Ner Chanukah. That doesn't bother me. But what does the Gemara say then in Chav Gimel Shabbos? Nashim Hi Vaday Adlaka, which means that the Rashi explains that a woman can light for a man. That's what you're at. That's your question. How can a woman light for a man where a woman is not able to read the Megillah for a man? If the parallel stands, it doesn't work. It's a big problem. Yeah?
Why did the Rav assume that the Pesuma Nisa has to be defined in terms of the way the common people perceive it?
I want to be very careful. The Rav never said that. That the soul is, says in the Avnei Nezer, is an explanation of the Bahagwa and Megillah.
Okay.
I have to put the words in the right mouth. So he assumed he had a Kesef Mishnah and Hilchos Shavuos, that's his source. But in order to be Mefursim, everybody knows it, not just the Talmud Chacham knows it. That's an assumption. You can argue with the assumption,
okay,
for sure. But here, we have a problem. So here, the answer, I believe, is as follows. There are 2 days in the Mechaber where there are Katan, who was under the age of Bar Mitzvah, can in fact light the menorah for the entire family. 2 days. When it comes to Purim, we're machmir. Why? So my Rebbe answered the following very beautiful answer. Mitzvah Chanukah is ner ishu beso. All you need in Chanukah is how should we put it? A chefza of ner Chanukah. Now for Goralites, it's not a chefza of ner Chanukah, it's nothing. But once you have somebody who's in the parsha, such as a cotton, shigia lechinuch, he knows what he's doing, that ner Chanukah has a shem ner Chanukah, and even the people who are over by mitzvah can be yotze with him. Contrast this with Megillah, which is a chiyav on the Gavra. So therefore, if he's under bar mitzvah, it's no good if you hear it from him. Beautiful answer. It's a beautiful, beautiful answer. This being the case, let's go back to Isha. The Chiddush of the Gemara says, Noshim Vadei Madakim. She can light, because her Ner Chanukah has a status of a Chevtza of Ner Chanukah. V'horaya, if she lights the Ner Chanukah, and she sees the Ner Chanukah, she fulfills her obligation of Re'iyas HaNeres of Pirsum HaNisa by looking at those very Neres. That's what Gemara says. Hidlik u'cheir ha'shot v'katan lo osu v'lo klum Shabbat ha'chol gimel ha'mal Isha v'adai madlika afen ha'i v'osu v'neis. What it means is her, not she's chayav l'hadlik. What we're saying now, she's not chayav l'hadlik. She's only chayav l'irus Pirsum HaNisa aspect of the mitzvah. But has a shame ner Chanukah, as opposed to a cheir shot of a cotton, doesn't even have a shame ner Chanukah. Cotton shigil the chinuch, 2 days, whether it does or does not have a shame ner Chanukah. It's interesting, the question will then become, why does the woman make a bracha of lahadlik ner shel Chanukah? Remember, according to the Mechaber, you can't make a bracha on Mrs. Sensation's Mangarama. Can't volunteer. Mechav is a Svarah Shishita. Can't do it. Dr. Ramba. Can't do it. So how do you explain? Yeah, I think the answer is as follows. Since in order for her to see the Neros, she has to light the Neros, so therefore she makes the bracha of Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. What if a woman reads the Megillah for herself? In order to hear the Megillah, she has to read the Megillah. She makes a bracha according to the Mechaber of Al Mikra Megillah. That's interesting. The Ramah changed. The Ramah is accustomed to make a bracha for a woman of the Shema Megillah. Ah, he's trying to make a point. The point is, she better make a bracha of the Shema Megillah, otherwise people are going to think that she can read the Megillah for the man, but she cannot. She'll Mechaber and Shmir. So in order to prove that point, to demonstrate, to bring it home, they said she should change the bracha from Al Mikra Megillah to the Shema Megillah. Yes, Rabbi Harari.
Is this only if she's Muslim and there are other people seeing the Nair?
No. She's all by herself in a house. There's no one else around, a desert island.
For herself, yeah.
That's enough. Enough, absolutely. It's passing us enough. Now, the truth is, this is so. I mean, there is a linkage between Ner Chanukah, which is our topic for today, and the idea of Purim and Pesach, Megillah and Abrakosis, with respect to this Yisod of the Baal Halachos Gedolos, that the woman don't chayav and Shmiya not Kriya, and she cannot make a bracha for him, is Mufurish in the Rav Yoh. The Rav Yoh says it Beferish, in Simen Tov Kuf Samach Tes. So he quotes this din of the Gemara, Isha Vade Madlaka, Noshem Chayavis Menei Chanukah, but Dakti Baal Halachos Gedolos Lo Pirish Bamidi. I checked it up in the Bahad to see if he said anything. I don't know if he puts it together with Megillah and with Abrakosis or not. So it's clear in the Bahag that this possibility exists that women have a different status with respect to Abrakosis and with respect to Ner Chanukah, just as the Bahag gave him a different status with respect to Megillah. So therefore, let's review. We started by quoting the Mishnah Berurah, quoting Ola Shmuel, that a woman's obligation is secondary. We couldn't say what in the world he's talking about. It's afen ha'ibos v'neis. So the answer is afen ha'ibos v'neis is only the pirsum ha'nisa aspect, which when it comes to Megillah is the shmir, when it comes to Abrakosis is the shtir, and when it comes to the Chanukah is the re'iyah. Okay, all rhymes. So that's the pirsum ha'nisa aspect, and the yisod adav is already found in the Rav Yoh. Fine. Interesting. The question will be, Mahadran. Let's talk about Mahadran a little bit. Mahadran means Ner l'chol echad v'yechad. Everyone knows, we just got through eight nights of Hanukkah, and every person in the house makes his own bracha. That's how we do. That's how we follow the Mahadran, as the Ramah writes, as we all know. So it's fine, they have a different take. We're not going there right now. So the Galia Masechta, as quoted by the Aruch HaShulchan in Siman Tovresh Ayin Aleph Sifkot Vav, screams and yells. He says, if the father lights first and the children light afterwards, and the children make their own bracha, it's a bracha levatola. You can't make a bracha on the heat of mitzvah. Ooh, he's really upset. He's really upset. Oh. So I believe the answer to this question is that, let me tell you what the answer is not. So some answer, that when the son intends to make a bracha 5 minutes after his father, he also has intention not to fulfill his obligation when the father lights. Like a kavana hafokas, kavana shalo lotzes. It's a very shver avart if you ask me. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, Tofresh, Ayin, Zayin, Tazayin, quotes the Marshal, that a person who lives in a house and somebody lights candles in a house is yotze whether he likes it or not. Mitzvah schadling a nerishu beso. As long as there's a nair in your house, you're automatically yotze. So this then we're stuck. I believe the answer is that the Hidur Mitzvah of Chanukah is different than all other Hidur Mitzvah. All the Hidur Mitzvah is just subjective. You know, a nicer talis, a nicer, whatever nicer. Here, there's objective criteria. We know Mahadran, we know Mahadran Mina Mahadran, and Chazal Metakein, that on this extra objective level of Hidur, you may make a separate bracha. So if the father lit, now the son lights, and the son is fulfilling Mahadran, you can make, it warrants a separate and distinct bracha of Lahadik Me'er Shulchanukah. Kivega talks about the other way around that. Mahadran Min HaMahadran. Let's say last night a person only had 7 candles. He was missing one. So he lit 7 candles, and he made a bracha, Lahadik Me'er Shulchanukah. And then 5 minutes later, oh, here's the 8th candle. He didn't know about it before. Kivega suggests you make a new bracha on the 8th candle. Good discussion with Chuvah B'Kivega. Again, a separate bracha on Mahadran, Min HaMahadran, and so too on Mahadran. And this Rabbi Kivega is in Madura, Tanyana Simon Yud Gimel. Look at the Machzis HaShekel, Simon Tofresh, Ayin Vav. Go to the Chuvah Rambam. Rambam, he said. It's back a long way. Yes.
Is the Mishnah Berurah talking about a case where a person had Kavanah Hapucha not to be yotze with the other person in the house who was lighting, or just where they had stam, they weren't makavim for anything in particular?
No. Even if you have, no matter what, if you look at Mishnah Berurah, look it up. It's in Tofresh, Ayin Zayin, Sifkotin Tez Zayin, the Feirish. Quotes the Marashal, the quote, Lav kol kemine shalolotis. You can't say I'm not going to be yotze. It doesn't work. Once you're a member of the household, you automatically are, you are yotze. So I wanted to suggest. Now, having said this, we now turn to our two final points. One is somebody who is an atzanoi. An atzanoi. Someone's a guest in somebody else's house. Because in the first you come on the same daf, of Gimel, you give a pruta. You give a pruta. Okay? Now this is a double chiddush over here. One the Ran emphasizes, and one the Rosh emphasizes. It's all in Shabbos Atchav Gimel. The Ran emphasizes that you should not consider this individual as somebody who is homeless. Someone who is homeless is pulled from their Chanukah. As Rashi says in the Furush in the Sechta, Shabbat Atchav Gimel, if you're homeless, you're pulled from their Chanukah. You might think, I'm not home, so I'm homeless. No, you're not homeless. You're a guest in someone else's house. The possibility exists for you to discharge your obligation in that someone else's house, providing that you're considered a member of the house for that night. Aksanoi is someone who is eating and sleeping in that house. That's what the Poskim say. If you go to a friend just for supper, you cannot light there. It's not your house. You're sleeping there. That's good enough. That's Kiddush number one. Kiddush number two, at the same time, you're there only for one night, you're not automatically considered a member of the household. The person lives in his parents' home, she's an automatic member of the household. Right? Straight through. So you get married, you remember your father's household. Even if you're there, you're not there, you're in, you're out, you fulfill your obligation by your father's lighting. But Nachsanoi is not an automatic member of the house. I'm here for a day, I'm here for a week. Not enough to be there for a longer period of time, maybe 30 days or there for whatever the period may happen to you. These are the two chidushim of Achsanoi giving a pruta and being yotze in that fashion. Interesting, if you don't give a pruta, perhaps you are not considered to be a member of the household. If you give a pruta, you are a member of the household. The Beis HaLevi in Chumash and Chanukah says, what if a man, a wife, a son, a daughter, the American nuclear family? So according to the Rambam, what does he do? He lights the first night, how many candles? The Rambam? No. Four candles, right? The Balabas himself lights the number of days times the number of people. So like 4, 8, just all the way up to 32. That's the Rambam. What will happen? He has an Achsanoi. So give him a penny. So guess what? How many candles does he light? How many?
55.
That's right. 5, 10, it's easy to count. 5, 10, 15, 20, up to 40. Because there are five people in the house. How? The guest gets a penny, becomes a Ben Bias. That's the Vart. That's Beis HaLevi Mefurish. And it's Pius and Chanukah, which is printed after Bereshis. Beis HaLevi, Ala Torah. Okay? Fine. This is the idea of Achsanoi. Mishnah Berurah says that an Achsanoi can get away with giving a penny, but ideally should light his own menorah. My Rebbe was opposed. He said, you can't light your own menorah. That's not your house. You have no right. If you, there will be a shadow of bracha levatol. It's not your own menorah. It's not your house. So let me tell you what I tell people to do. And it's what I've done myself, because, you know, I try not to, who wants to travel on Hanukkah? But, you know, some people make weddings, and then you have to go, you have no choice. Can't say, I'll come next week. The wedding is this week. So it happened to be a few times I was on the road, Hanukkah, and I think we should do as follows, to be yotzei l'chol hadeis. Give a pruta, because according to the Rav, you have to give a pruta, there's no other way out. Number two, have the balabas set up a menorah for you. And number three, you be there when he lights. Answer amen to his brachas and light yourself. So you can't lose this way. There's no bracha levatala. I'm only answering amen to his bracha. I'm giving the penny, which is what the Gemara says. Maybe there's an Indian of Hidu to light my own menorah. I'm doing that too. I mean, even answering amen to his bracha. That's what I tell people to do. Excuse me. Interesting. It's interesting. The Marashal is a tshuva where he writes that the Bachur and Machur on themselves not to rely on the Pruta, but to light independently. There's a chutzpah, he says, is Bachur Ham. The Gemara says, Rab Zera used to light, used to give what? He used to light himself, right? And then, he used to have to give a Pruta when he was a Beirav, and then he got married, things changed. So if Rav Zera can give a pruta, well, these guys are holier than the Pope, but they're from Rav Zera. Rav Zera gave a pruta. The Mashal is angry with them. We can perhaps justify what they're doing, because again, no time to go into it in detail. The Ramaz Minig that the Galia Masechta screams at, that everybody should light his own ner. Perhaps the Galia Masechta is right. Medina de Gemara, but the Ramah's custom is really not Medina de Gemara. It's being goes after the Gemara, because things change. They used to light inside, outside, light inside. Oh, I'm not going into the details right now. So perhaps things change in that respect. Perhaps. Now, what emerges from the Gemara is a bachur. The case of the bachur of Zera was before he got married. We call it a bachur. So perhaps we can make the following suggestion. Listen very carefully. The Marshal says that a man and a wife, it's It's enough to have one Ner. One. And therefore, if the wife lit for Rav Zeira once he got married, you don't have to do anything. There's no Mahadrin. The Mahadrin was never instituted for a husband and wife. So suggests the Marashal, presumably based upon this Gemara, of Rabbi Zeira. This being the case, Rabosai, they make the following suggestion. A bacha, Rav, has in effect two homes. I always say this myself, that every yeshiva bacha has two homes. The home here in the yeshiva, his fancy Manhattan residence, and his suburban home where his parents live in New Jersey and Long Island, wherever they happen to live, two homes. I found it word for word in the Halich of Shlomo of Shlomo Zalman Arba. The yeshiva has two bach, shnei bach. Bach shel kivantim. Yeah, maybe they're less palatial in Eretz Yisrael, but still, two homes. So therefore, we make the following suggestion. We can say that you have a choice of lighting in your home in the yeshiva, or in your home with your parents, perhaps. That's where we're suggesting. So Bismana Gemara, things were somewhat different, again. I only have 10 minutes to go and I want to get to a very important point. So let me just, I'm going to end a little bit, I got it, so let me just skip to my final point. The Marshal, again, who makes this point about Rav Zeira, perhaps knows as follows. When Rav Zeira was with Beirav, listen very carefully, they always lit in his home. His father lit, so he was a bocha. He has two homes. His father lit for him, and at the same time, he used to give a penny in the home where he was in Beirav. Nonetheless, once he got married, he stopped. This is a source, potentially, what the Marshal says, that an Ish and an Isha who are married is Ish to Kegufo. Mr. Brewer writes it in Siman Tov Resh Ayin Aleph and Cotton Test, gives no source whatsoever. None. Nonetheless, the source may be the story of Rav Zeira, that things changed once he got married. Now, the question becomes, what is the bottom line of all this? The bottom line of all this is that we said before that if a father lit, his son can light with a bracha subsequently. Why? Either guy in the settlement is a bracha levatala. The answer is you're making a bracha on the Mahadrin. And this particular objective Mahadrin warrants its own bracha, as opposed to other subjective mahadras. However, if what we're saying now is correct, that a husband and a wife, Chazal never instituted a mahadrin, that the Marshal says on the Farish, Mr. Brewer quotes it, and therefore the Mr. Brewer in effect says that if a man lights and the woman wants to light right afterwards, it would be a bracha levatala, the wife, and the other way around too. If the wife lights and the husband wants light afterwards, it'll be a chashash bracha levatala, because they never instituted a mahadrin for ish v'isho. If ish v'kagufo, as the Mishnah Berurah says, this is a very, very important din. Again, I'm not saying it's b'chol ha'deis. There are certainly deis that disagree for a variety of reasons. But nonetheless, it's an important understanding that there are those who maintain that the mitzvah of mahadrin of ne'er l'cholecha v'yechad was never instituted with respect to a husband and a wife. There's no such thing. And certainly it seems to me that from Suffolk brachas, we should not be making two brachas. A husband and a wife in the same house should not be making two brachas on the Ner Chanukah. And perhaps it's for this reason that in many homes, the single women do not light their own menorahs. Saw it again in the Halich of Shlomo. The single did not light the menorah, and the reason he gives, one of the reasons there, is that it's only a temporary situation. because hopefully they're going to get married soon. And once they get married, so the husband will light for them. So therefore, we don't have any reason to have them light earlier. I want to put an American twist on it. Someone could never imagine this. But the American twist on it is, I get phone calls that a woman who's married, she's very upset. For the last 10 years, since her bas mitzvah, she's been lighting every year a Ner Chanukah. Now she turned 22, she gets married. To paraphrase the Gemara, Mala Bakodesh Veloma Rizit. I'm a married woman. I'm an Ohio level of Kedusha Ish. You know what? She went to Kedusha, Mala Bakodesh. Right? She was an Iskachal Ish. And now she's going to go down and not light the Ner Chanukah. So this can lead to very to disappointment, to unhappiness, or in effect, if you will, to worse. She'll insist on Lariya making her own bracha, which is a chshash, I'm not saying for sure, but it's a chshash of a bracha levatala. This is, it seems to me, the proper minhag that she should not be lighting in her own home. I'm going to discuss when she's out of the house. Out of the house, even a husband and wife, there's possibilities. You look at the post, we don't have time to go into the details, Chumas Hadesh and others, that there is a possibility of them both lighting because they're in a different location. So with a bracha, without a bracha, the details, but even with a bracha, has a better chance in a different location. But in the same house, according to many, it would be a chash bracha levatala, and therefore perhaps they should stop lighting. In my, Sefer Shlomo Zalman, it says there in the Sefer, his daughter's never lit. In my house, we're more modern. I live in Riverdale, more modern. So the young girls, when they were young, and they want to have the fun of lighting, they always lit, until they turned bas mitzvah. The opposite of you. They always, you start a bas mitzvah, they stop at bas mitzvah. So I wanted to make it clear, this is the minigas, there's no mahadrin, that's what the post can say. And we explained it very well. How do we say it before? A man who has a chiv of hadloka, same introduced, a mahadrin. But a woman, we said before, based on Mishnah Berurah, all the Shmuel, based on the Rav Yoh and the Bahad, she has a chiv of Riyas Saneris. She has no chiv of hadloka Saneris. So therefore, perhaps they never introduced a mahadrin to a woman bichlal. That's the lundus behind it. But the practicality behind it is what Rav Shlomo Zalman said in this nice way, and I'm saying it in a different way here and in this country, that I don't want there to be problems, but down the road they're going to be disappointed that they have to stop lighting, or they want to light anyway and make their own brachas anyway after their marriage. So that's why I think it's better done in the following fashion. I want to end with a little hashkafa about this yisod. Mitzvah Chanukah Nerishu Beiso makes Chanukah unique. We spoke about it from a halachic perspective. We said before that Purim is a mitzvah on the Gavra. Right? Chanukah, in effect, on the Chefza. Right? That's what we said. There's a mitzvah on the person to light, but it's Nerishu Beiso. The whole holiday of Chanukah is based on the Jewish home. Nerishu Beiso. If you have no home, you're putter from the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Put. Can't help it. You have no home. Perhaps this is because our enemies, the Misyavnim and the Yevonim, wanted to destroy the Jewish home. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to take away the unique, special character of a Jewish home. And whatever they tried to do, they tried to indoctrinate us with the Hellenism of the time. Ein lechem chelek b'elokei Yisrael. We should have a different way of looking at things. We should not be inspired by spiritual values, rather by the Greek values, the Greek Hellenist values, the values of, you know, beauty, strength, the body, you know, the physical, that was what Greece was all about. And they tried to impose their world view upon us. That's what they tried to do. To impose their world view upon us. Yeah. Over and above that, they stopped us from doing mitzvahs. But it wasn't just the mitzvahs proper, the technical maisei ha-mitzvah. They tried to create a whole new worldview. The Greeks were philosophers. They said, we also have chokhmah. We understand, you Jews, why you cannot relate to paganism. The paganism which is bereft of any philosophy. But we have added a philosophy to our paganism. We think like the Aristotles and the great minds, the high civilization. This, of course, is a much more dangerous threat to Am Yisrael than the brute paganism without any philosophy whatsoever. we see this to be true historically. When there were brute force non-Jews who tried to destroy us physically, we were able to maintain ourselves. Yes, with losses, we were able to maintain ourselves. When it became more of the, what we'll call the Enlightenment, which is, I guess, you'll call it the Greek society and civilization, fast-forwarded quite a few years and made much more sophisticated and much more accessible worldwide, to this day, this poses a greater danger. Because we, as Jews, are always attracted to thought. It's a deep thought, a philosophy. There's a philosophy out there which goes against what we think the Torah thinks is the problem. You'll find that that the Jewish people, B'nai Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, are at the forefront of all of the social, liberal movements throughout the world, and certainly in this country. All of them. Take for one example, feminism. The Jews are the forefront of this movement. They were the creators of the movement. If you just look at the names of all those who started this whole thing. And here in Ner Chanukah, Ner Ishu Beso, where the halacha is telling us, no, that a man and a wife constitute one unit. And when a woman enters into her husband's home, she's doing exactly that. And she's not maintaining herself as a completely independent figure, but she's entering into her husband's home, Ishto Kegufo, and therefore the Chazal said there's no Mahadrin for Baal V'Ishto. One Ner for both. There's a radical chiddush, not accepted in the outside world. Half the women today don't even accept their husband's family name. Now, of course, in halacha, there's no such thing as a family name. But it's symbolic of something, that she's going into her husband's home. That is found in the Chumash. In Beis Isha Nadara, she enters into his home. And this has both technical ramifications, which we spoke about a little bit today, but much more global ramifications. How do you think about the Jewish family? How do you think about the Jewish home? And here, too, even to this day, we're under the gun of what we'll call the modern Greek way of thinking. And there's no need to go into the details right now, but you do know that some of the Greeks were involved in other perversions, which have now recently been not just legalized, but institutionalized in states. It's a 40-minute drive east. And it's a big problem. It also started with the Greeks. They had this, they do whatever feels good, and whatever your body wants, and no holds barred, no nothing. That came from the Greeks. And that philosophy is now rampant in this country. And we, as B'nai Torah, have to say no. Mitzvah, Chanukah, Ner, Ishu Beso, the Jewish family, the Jewish home, a traditional family unit, a traditional husband and wife and children and with Torah emanating therefrom, with traditional roles. Yes, even as we adjust to modern realities. I'm not keeping out all the realities, but we have to take the realities and shape them according to the role model that the Torah has provided for us. It's difficult. Some people have to run away from all realities of life to try to run away and maintain what was going on, who knows, 300 years ago. For some it works, for most it doesn't, and for us in this room, we're past that already. So we're exposed to the outside world. What we have to do is to see to it that we burn the fire of Torah bright. I'm so happy that Baruch Hashem, in the midst of a reading week, of finals, that people are working very hard for their college course, which you should do. Very important. Very important the person should be able to make a successful career for himself, and the career that often starts here in your undergraduate years. Very important. But remember, there's a Torah out there. And the Torah that we learn, and that Torah guides our lives and shapes our lives and forms our lives. It's only this way we'll be able to see, as the ancient miracle of Chanukah is recreated with the coming of the Mashiach, b'mehera b'yameinu amen. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Explain how things would have changed, because Manazad would be like the feeling that it would be acceptable for someone who's away from his house to, I have no idea, if there was some halacha.
No, there are more than many, but every single person lives for himself. Uh-huh. That seems to be against the Gemara, the Pashas.
It could be anything. It is against the Gemara. In the olden days, when they all lived in the same place, couldn't have two people alive because it wasn't Nikar, you know, how many, what day of Hanukkah was. So all had exactly the same tefa.
Ah, but now everybody has
it. Hey, that could be part of the.
Daddy looks for 1 o'clock.
You going or not?
Should I go? I think.
I don't know. We don't have many.
I'm not going.
Who wants to run?
Good.
Doesn't Rav Moshe have that the first husband living separately? I mean, if he's not at home, he should also light with the bracha.
I said that. If he's not at home, there's much more room to light with the bracha. You have a licha family?
Yeah.
I would have shown my love to the table.
Fantastic. Excellent.
And then I saw it all this year. I just picked it up.
Very good.
Okay.
He says in here that most of the halachas are not found in the misvara.
Most halachas are what?
But he said most halachas are, he had to work hard to misvara to deduce them because they're not found. Well, the Pratim are not found. Yeah.
In Hanukkah
or
in general?
No, in Hanukkah. He worked hard. Yeah, he worked hard for a few weeks before every Hanukkah.
The introduction to the Hanukkah says that. I didn't pick that up.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll find it. I don't know if introduction or somewhere.
Find it, let me know. I haven't put it out.
Oh, I spoke with the Rebbe's relative, Rabbi Kalish. The other week, he mentioned to me he was the Rebbe's relative.
I had my first cousin.
He does seven what a day.
Voila?
He learned seven what a day.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Is there a mincha? Where's the next mincha? Someone else?
I asked him right
now. I didn't come for 101.
It's not going to help us right now.
No, I don't remember that. Anyone else has any...